cheerful viewers, welcome to another exciting episode of Animal World, Our Co-Inhabitants, the first in a two-part series. Kuro, meaning black in Japanese, is the name of a wild baby starling that was rescued by Izumi Kyle in June of 1981, when she was in the sixth grade. At the time, she lived with her parents, Keiko and Yoko Izuka, and siblings Ayumi, Megumi, and Nana in Toronto, Canada.
I remember walking by the schoolyard and around this playground, seeing a nest in there, not realizing that, you know, there was a little bird that would be part of our family for years thereafter nesting there.
The European starling, a small to medium-sized passerine bird, is one of the most abundant garden birds in Europe. Their unique ability to mimic human speech is referenced in William Shakespeare's play, Henry IV, Part 1, in a project to introduce to North America every bird ever mentioned in a Shakespeare play. The species was first brought to the United States in 1890. Strong and highly adaptable, these adorable birds have even spread to Asia and Australia. Kuro lived with the Izuka family for 19 happy years, nearly four times the average lifespan of a starling. In fact, at age 18, Kuro set a record by being the world's oldest living domesticated starling. Izumi now shares with us how the story began.
Oh, it was a bright and sunny spring day, and I was in the schoolyard playing with my sisters, and all of a sudden I see that there are some kids teasing this little fledgling. And they had told me that the fledgling had fallen from its nest, which was up on that bell. So I said, please, please, you know, I'd like to take the bird. And I found a little styrofoam cup, and I put little nesting in it, and I brought home Kuro, and Kuro barely had any feathers on its head. So that was a very, very young starling when I found him many years ago.
Izumi's family has always been big fans of animals, but no one had any experience in caring for a tender young fledgling. The family named the little one Kuro, thinking that he was a blackbird.
And I brought home Kuro, who was just probably less than 2 weeks old, and it was a little ball, a fledgling with little tiny feathers. Immediately after I brought home Kuro, we went to the library. We had no idea what type of species it was, what to feed it.
I right away brought her into the bathtub to clean. She never scared me. That is the first time I contact with her.
And very quickly we understood that it was the common European starlings. And it talks about making sure that starlings are fed around the clock, you know, something that's high in protein and fat. And so we would put a little bit of food on the end of a chopstick, and immediately Kuro would open its mouth.
Wow.
and we would feed it, you know, probably every half hour on the hour for at least 8 hours a day.
She really enjoyed it. It's so tame, and then it's great for the kids too. So the first day start like that.
To everyone's delight, Kuro fell in love with Izumi's family too.
Starlings in general, they're birds that imprint very, very quickly to human beings. So if you find them within a 7 to 14 day time frame, they will look to you as the mother. And so very, very quickly this bird looked up at me and bonded immediately with me, and I knew, you know, this bird has to stay with us, and this bird is going to be absolutely part of our family.
Under the loving care of Izumi's family, Kuro grew rapidly and was soon a lively, healthful juvenile starling with shining, beautiful feathers. Kuro also learned his name and would respond with a squeak every time someone called him. And within weeks, Kuro learned how to fly.
He did fly around the house, and we would very strategically put newspaper on landing areas, and you know, the freedom, I think, gave him a lot of liberation in terms of feeling like he's not caged, and he had the freedom to see whomever and whenever, and that really added, I think, to the quality of him being a domesticated starling.
The intelligent kudo established a strong relationship with every member of the family.
They are very clever. They do do things that are very mischievous. They're very curious animals. He absolutely knew who each one of us were, reacted to our personalities. And for example, he really loved my father. And so my father could, you know, say, like, down, kudo. Whereas I would try and say, kudo, down, even in the sternest voice, and he would not react to me. He'd be like, you know what, you're my sister, you're not my dad.
One mystery about kudo is whether kudo was male or female. Ayumi now explains more.
English isn't my parents' first language, and I know my mom uses he and she interchangeably. So I think that was part of the confusion. I always saw her as a she. Later in life, when we did try to identify her gender, she has mixed reports, because on the one hand, if she has brown eyes, then it means that it's a she. If she has blue on her beak, it means it's a he. But she had both. We maybe had a really unusual starling as well, but I think we all sort of related to her differently. I thought of her as a she. I think other people might have thought of her as a he. So we use it interchangeably.
When kudo was a few months old, it was discovered he could say things like good bird, pretty bird, kiss, kudo stay, and many combinations thereof.
Totally understand what we are saying.
She would go to the sink and land on the faucet and say mizu, which means water in Japanese. You turn on the faucet and she'd either have a drink or start having a bath. So she had comprehension in the two languages as well.
Bilingual.
Good bird. Good bird.
Kudo loved singing and could whistle many tunes, including the William Tell Overture and Pop Goes the Weasel. Here are a few of his recorded performances. Interestingly, he could also copy mechanical sounds.
Starlings, they are a type of bird that can mimic, and they don't have their own song. Robins or other wild birds have their own distinct call. And so in the wild, actually, they actually pick up other song birds. Voices and sounds, and of course, us being humans, naturally kudo would mimic and pick up on words we would say, whistles, even sounds. You know, I used to have a watch that would go off every hour, go deet deet, you know, and we'd be in the kitchen, and all of a sudden I hear deet deet, and I'd look at my watch. Wait, it's 5:30. No, it wasn't my watch going off at 6. It was kudo in the kitchen, you know, imitating that sound.
Being very serious about his music, kudo would seize any chance to practice his singing.
I have to train Johnny how to take a pick.
She loved her voice over any other sound in the household, including my organ playing, which I would dutifully do every week to practice for my lesson. And so she would, as soon as I'd turn on the organ and start playing, would sit right where the music stand was and start listening to what I'm playing. But she would also somewhat match the volume of my playing. So if I was playing a soft ballad, she would sing very sweetly and quietly. And as soon as I started to play a little louder with more force, she would start belting on top of whatever I was playing. So that was one of the things I enjoyed most about her. This would go on for maybe 45 minutes to an hour straight. So she was really dedicated to her singing.
She did that with a hair dryer too. So if you're blow drying your hair, she would sit on the other shoulder and she would be singing really loud, and as soon as you turned it off, it would catch her by surprise, so she would still let that one loud note, and then she'd kind of be like embarrassed, and then she'd start preening. She's like, I'm cool. Yeah, it'd be really funny.
Izumi now shares one interesting anecdote about an interview regarding Kudo with National Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, or CBC Radio.
This bird loved to sing, and you could count on Kudo to be singing hours every day. And so when I was interviewed on national CBC radio about my bird, and during the whole interview process, I'm telling Michael Enright, in the, you know, who hosts As It Happens, how my bird sings and talks all the time, and throughout the interview he's like, well, can you make it say something? And I'm like, absolutely. And every time I would put the phone near my bird, the bird would clam up and look at the phone like, what are you doing? And so throughout the entire interview, the bird said nothing. And as soon as I hung up, the bird goes and starts talking. So that was definitely memorable.
The adorable Kudo brought much love, laughter, and light to the Izuka family. They all deeply treasured him like a fellow family member. One day, out of curiosity, Kudo flew away from the house when the door was left open a little longer than usual. Having never left home before, what was the result? To find out, please join us tomorrow on Animal World, Our Co-Inhabitants, for the conclusion of the fascinating story of Kudo. For more information on Kudo the Starling, please visit www.starlingtalk.com/kudo.htm. Thank you for your pleasant company on today's program. May our spirits forever soar high above like our bird friends.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/AW.